Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right. Let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
I'm Baylen Leonard, and this is Absolute Radio Country. We're talking to a big deal today. He has just celebrated his 25th number one song. He's won CMA Awards, ACM Awards, Grammy nominations. He's collaborated with some of the biggest names in music, like Morgan Wallen, Katy Perry, left field, Niall Horan and Teddy Swims, Thomas Rhett, TR to his friends and neighbors. Great to see you.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
It's been a while since you've been here.
It has
like
been
3 years.
It has been, yeah.
What took you so long?
I don't really know. Okay. I had a lot of kids.
You do have a lot of kids.
A lot of babies, yeah.
Yeah. Did you bring them?
They just landed.
Did they?
They're here, yes.
So you fly private.
No,
and they're coming over in economy.
Exactly, yeah. Took the jet, then put them in coach.
So
yeah.
They just got here. Well, one of them won't have been here before for sure, right?
Yeah, Brave, our little boy. This will be his first time.
It's a great name, Brave.
Brave.
Was there a list that and
there
Brave
was a list. We struggled really hard with boy names for some reason. Our girl names came out really easily, but boy name, we struggled hard. And so like it took us until we left the hospital to actually write his birth certificate of what his name was going to be. So,
what was the worst name on the list?
The worst name?
Yeah.
I wanted a name like Lyric.
Lyric.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. My wife just said she didn't want anything musical.
Right.
So we went with Brave.
Brave. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Well, congratulations on that and
Thank
the big
you.
Family and all of the other accolades. And it seems as well like the UK and you got a bit of a friendship, a love affair going on because you've been coming over here for a while.
I have. I mean, I was talking to my team. I think it's been since 2018 since I've done my last headlining show over here.
Right.
Done C2C, obviously, a few times. A couple years back, but every time I come, it's amazing to me how much country music grows between the years, and especially this trip is like extra special for me. Never in a million years would I have dreamed that I would get to play Wembley Stadium and do it opening for one of my dear buddies, Luke Combs. So this week is going to be really hard to top. But we are coming back in April to do our first arenas as a headliner over here, which is going to be awesome.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
When you first came here, what kind of stages were you playing and what was that like?
Well,
take us to now.
I think the first time I came was to do C2C, and I think I was opening for Dwight Yoakam and Miranda Lambert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did the same, the same loop, London, Glasgow, Dublin maybe. And then we came back a couple times after that. Me and my band and sat over here for 2 or 3 weeks and traveled kind of all around, hit Birmingham and Manchester and Belfast. And those are honestly my favorite memories as a musician, is getting to come over here, be on one of those double-decker buses with all my band and just cruise for 2 weeks. I also feel like I never fully get on the time zone over here. I stay up till like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, do you?
It's like a thing, especially after a show.
So you're eating breakfast at weird times of the day?
Eating breakfast at weird times, yep. But no, every time we've been, it's just been amazing. And people ask me why I like to play over here. And it's like, I just think that the folks listening to country music over here are listening to more than just the hit. They're listening to more than just the single on the radio, which is so nice as an artist when you get to stand up on stage and be like, man, I'm gonna go back in the catalog here. You know what I mean? I'm going to pick a random song from like my second or third record, and I'll see pockets of people in the crowd that know every single word to those songs. And so I kind of feel like I get to kind of experiment with a lot of my catalog over here.
So do you do different sets when you're here than when you're in the States?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's nice. So it keeps you on your toes a little bit.
Yeah, my band is, we're all kind of freaking out about tomorrow, but we'll be all right.
Oh, you'll be fine. There's only like 80,000 people.
Only 80,000 people.
And you've got 3 times to get it right.
Exactly.
So, if you don't get it right on Friday.
We fail on Friday, we can get it right by Sunday, But yeah, I mean, playing in front of 80,000 people is nerve-wracking. It's a different kind of nerves.
Yeah.
It's more like you're about to run out of a stadium to go play football. Like, it's just like, let's go.
Do you have to hype yourself up?
Yeah,
backstage.
Got to hype up.
Are you hopping up and down and screaming? What's the process?
Hopping up and down. I box. So
do
I,
you?
Yeah, I've got like a guy that comes with me on the road who's a pro boxer.
That you knock out.
And we're just like backstage, just hitting mitts and like doing jump rope, and it gets me in the zone. So.
Yeah, because it is like a workout, I'd imagine,
yes.
Doing a show like that. Because you've got a whole kind of stage that's enormous.
Especially in a stadium, because the thrusts of the catwalks are just so much bigger than what we're playing on in arenas or amphitheaters. So if you're not careful, I mean, you can run like 5 miles, you know, in like an hour-long show. So
yeah, it's like an athlete.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a way that, and I've seen you do this on really big stages before, whether it's CMA Fest or even C2C, where it is still an enormous stage and there's a lot of people there, but you still somehow make it intimate.
And I think that's the goal, and I think it just takes practice. I remember my first ever stadium tour that I did, I think it would have been 2017, and I was a direct support opening for Kenny Chesney, and we did, you know, 20 straight football stadiums, which I'd never seen in my life.
Right.
And so you go from playing a 400 person club to that, you're like, what? I can't even see people's faces, you know, in the very back row. And I watched Kenny do it every night, and he would make every single human in the nosebleeds or in the very back feel like they were sitting in the front row. And I studied him that summer.
Did he wear shoes?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't like to wear shoes a lot.
He does not like to wear, no shoes nation.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Luke Combs, opening up for him, and we talked about him a little bit. It's amazing kind of the effect that he has had.
It's insane.
On country music.
Yeah.
Not just in the UK, but
for
right
sure.
around the world. Even in somewhere like the States, where country music's part of the DNA and has been forever, he seems to have superseded whatever country music was before.
Like, 100%.
What is the effect of having an artist like that who's going out and doing it on a world stage on that level? Have you felt a personal effect on that, or a country
100%.
Music effect?
And it doesn't shock me at all with Luke. Luke is like one of my – he's just such a personable human being. He's a normal dude. I don't think that ego has ever – touched his brain. And so I think that he walks out there no matter what the stage is, and he treats it just like he would sitting in someone's backyard. You know, I think that's what makes him so, obviously his songs are amazing, but he's just a likable human.
Yeah, he is.
Great performer, incredible vocalist. But watching his journey playing overseas, like in Australia and in the UK and in the Netherlands and in Norway and all these different places, like I think it's making a path for a lot of other artists to be like, oh, maybe we could go do that too. You know what I mean? I know that a lot of artists have tried and some have succeeded, but I think you have to really put your time in. And I think that Luke has done a fantastic job at coming over here multiple times, playing different types of, you know, size venues, whether it's clubs or arenas, and now obviously playing Wembley. It gives someone like me the ability to be like, man, maybe we could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think what he has done for international version of country music is beyond anything I've ever seen.
Has he given you a gift yet?
No, he's not giving me
a gift. You're going to get a gift.
You think so?
Well, yeah, because Jordan Davis was in and did a tour with him and wearing the fanciest watch you've ever seen in your life.
And Luke gave it to
like
him?
With like two security guards on either side of it.
I know. I thought about trying to get Luke a watch as a gift, and I was like, what am I going to get him that he doesn't have?
Here's a swatch.
I should get him a swatch.
Get him a swatch.
He's I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're definitely getting a watch at the end of this.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we will check in, I'm sure.
I'll let you know. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, please do. So you have a new song called Skyfall that you've been doing at your shows recently. Another song about your wife, which is a lovely thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is she? How is she with being your muse in that sort of way?
I think she likes it, but also thinks she's kind of over it. You know what I mean?
Is she like, oh, another song about me?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But this one feels different to me. This one is a little bit sort of darker musically than most love songs I've ever done. It's a pretty heavy song, like when you really listen to the lyrics. And I remember playing this for her for the first time like 3 or 4 months ago, and I swore I saw a tear.
Mm.
I did. I swore I've never seen her. I've never seen
she's
her.
She's never cried before.
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. I cry in every movie though.
Like, was she cutting onions at the time?
Did what now?
Was she cutting onions at the time?
Maybe that's what
Maybe
it was.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. You just ruined that for me.
Well, listen, we're just dealing with facts here. How do you feel like your songwriting's changed over the course of your career? Because obviously you do write a lot about your wife.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of songs about how your life, your family life specifically,
for sure,
has changed. So how has it evolved over the years? What was the very first song you wrote? Do you remember?
Ever. I think my dad and I wrote a song when I was 9 called A Piece of Wood.
A Piece of Wood.
A Piece of Wood, and it was about making a guitar. Yeah.
Can you throw that into the set tomorrow?
No, I don't. I doubt it. We're going to save that for the art for the reunion tour when
okay,
I'm 65.
Fine. So piece of wood.
Piece of wood.
All right.
But I've always just made words. Like I think just growing up with a dad that sang country music and wrote songs. Like I've always kind of had a knack for just making things rhyme and putting different schemes together. But it wasn't really until maybe eighth grade when I got into bands and stuff, mm-hmm. and like me and dad would sit there and write songs for my horrible band. And
did the band have a name?
We were called the High-Heeled Flip-Flops.
That's a terrible name.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
We made a run of t-shirts,
and also
too.
Super
they were sick.
Impractical.
Yeah, exactly. No one would wear that.
High-Heeled Flip-Flops. Was it a country band?
No, we were actually like a British punk band.
A British punk band.
Yeah.
So were you super influenced by British music?
My dad's favorite band of all time is Rolling Stones. I think I've seen the Stones at minimum 15 times in concert. My dad travels all around the country and to see them, and so I fell in love with the Stones. And when I was at that age, we were listening to a lot of the Ramones, mm-hmm. and I just kind of fell in love with that type of music. And me and four dudes in school, like I got a dad bought me a drum kit, and somebody else got a Marshall half stack, and somebody got a bass guitar, and we sang through an amplifier that was on the ground, and we did one show. So
one show only.
One show.
All right.
At a Halloween party when I was 14.
Are there people out there that are like, I was at that one show?
I'm
like
sure.
When the Beatles played the Roof.
Absolutely. I think people still talk about it to this day.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to talk about it on air all the time from now on. You mentioned the tour. Let's talk about this a little bit. So you're returning to the UK in 2027.
Yeah.
The Soundtrack to Life tour.
Yeah.
April, you play Manchester, London, Glasgow.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a long time coming, even though you've been over here quite a lot.
Maybe. It still makes me nervous. I think just because of all the times we've been here. And every time we've come, we've gotten to play like a slightly bigger spot. And I think to jump from, like the Apollo or Shepherd's Bush up to the Roundhouse or something like that, and then jump to like an arena is a big jump. So I'm excited. I think at least three of y'all will be there.
Yeah. So Niall Horan, Old Tricks, the collaboration with him. I know you've talked about your friendship with him before, but I mean, I think some people, when it first started coming out that you guys were buddies, were a bit like, huh?
Yeah. 100%.
What? So how did that come about?
I met him 10 years ago. So my producer is a guy named Julian Bonetta, and Julian kind of helped sort of put like the 1D guys together mm-hmm. back in the day.
He lives in a solid gold house, I bet.
It's solid gold.
Yeah.
But he like wrote and produced a lot of the 1D stuff. And so as I was getting to know Julian, I got to know Niall. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just struck up. Mostly our friendship was based on golf. That's
okay.
kind of all we talked about was
right.
golf. And music here and there.
Who's the better golfer?
He is a way better golfer
okay.
than me, yeah. But we just kind of maintained a friendship. Every time I'd come over here, he'd come out to the show. Or every time he'd be in the States playing, I'd go to see one of his shows. And but really just in the last few years, we kind of have started talking a lot more and hanging more. And I put a song out called Old Tricks with my buddy Blake Shelton. Mm-hmm. And I got a text from Niall the day that it came out. And he said, why did you put Blake on that song? I was like, what do you mean? He was like, this is my favorite song of yours, like, ever. I was like, well, I didn't know that. And, like, second, you weren't even in the top 10 people that I thought about asking.
It's hurtful, but yeah.
I mean, I just said, like you. Like, why would I ask you to do that? And he was like, well, I want to do it. And I was like, okay, great. Let's do it.
But was there a moment where you're like, well, now I got to tell Blake?
Hey, Blake doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. But, no, Niall put his vocal on it, and it was awesome and came out. And so after that song came out, then we were like, man, maybe we should do a couple shows together. And so we did a couple stadiums in the States, and they were literally the two most fun nights of my life. They were so much fun. I love doing shows by myself, but I like it even more when I get to do it with friends. So we kind of got to trade off. Like, I went last in Nashville, he went last in Hershey, and then we both did like a 30-minute encore.
You're right.
And he's just a great dude. I was with him last night, actually. Just a fantastic human and, great musician, great songwriter. And
is he coming
friend.
To the shows?
I think so.
Is he coming, like, to the shows?
I think so.
Okay. All right. You're like out on stage?
I think so.
Huh.
Maybe.
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 You've been doing a little bit of acting. Is that right?
I wouldn't call it acting.
We're calling it acting?
We're calling it acting.
All right. You've been doing some acting. You're in the new season of Ransom Canyon. Is that something that...
That's your favorite show, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, I figured.
I've got the t-shirt.
Thank you. Yeah.
that and the pink high heels.
Flip-flops. That's right.
Yeah. So is acting something that, like, they came to you and you thought, well, why not? Or has it always been a little bit?
You know,
because it is a little bit of, you know, doing songs that are, that touch on an emotional place.
Sure.
Be a happy place or a sad place.
Yeah.
That is a bit of acting that you have to pull that out every night.
No, you're right.
So it's not foreign to you, surely.
You're right. No, I mean, I've always thought it'd be really fun to, every bit of acting I've done, I've always played myself.
Right.
It's not really hard to play me. You know, yeah. I know me. But I did like a thing. On, remember the show The Ranch?
Yeah.
That Ashton Kutcher was in? I did like a cameo in that, like back in the day. Obviously did Ransom Canyon. But I do think it'd be really, really fun to like actually, you know, dive in and like be somebody else.
Yeah. And are you doing that on this?
I had a couple lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember one of them?
No.
Okay.
This was last year.
Fine.
It's crazy how long that stuff takes.
Yeah, you've got a lot on.
But it would be really fun. To act, yeah, it'd be super fun.
Would you ever do something like, you know, the show The Traitors?
I don't.
Oh, it's a huge show.
Should
here.
I know
it's,
that?
It's huge okay. in the States as well. It's kind of like a reality show where somebody's picked as a traitor and everybody else has to figure it out, and they murder people, and it's become this big.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like a mystery kind of
absolutely
solving it type
yeah.
of thing? Yeah. Yeah. He'd be good on The Traitors, right?
Pitch me. Let's do it right now.
We can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it right now. Some questions from our esteemed colleagues here. Favorite song that you have written?
Favorite song that I have written. Are there songs that I think are better than others? Absolutely. There are some songs that I've put out that, you know, they were fine.
Hmm.
But Life Changes is, I think, probably my favorite song I've written because of the weight that held in my life at that time. Wrote that in 2016. I was adopting my first child. We were pregnant with our second child. Like, there was just a lot happening. My career was starting to go. And I just remember being at our farm with my dad writing that song. And to get to do that with my dad made that song extra special for me. So,
okay. And the favorite person to write with?
Favorite person to write with. I have a lot of great. I mean, there's not many people that get to do this for a living with their dad.
Mm.
And I think that I don't take that lightly. Getting to work with your father in a professional setting and it actually works.
Yeah.
Is really, really cool for me. So I would say him.
A moment in when you guys kind of have been collaborating that you became equals instead of father and son, or is it always father and son?
I think he'll always be a better songwriter than me.
You have collaborated with some of the biggest names in music, like we mentioned earlier, Morgan Wallen, Riley Green, Maren Morris, Teddy Swims as well. You and Teddy, tell us about that.
He's probably my favorite human on the planet. I love that dude. Have you met him?
I have not met
Just
him.
Just a lovely human to be around. I only use the word lovely when I'm here, by the way.
No, it works. Yeah, thank you for that.
But no, I can't even remember where I met Teddy, honestly. I think it had to have been 5 or 6 years ago. Also, my producer, Julian, produced all of Teddy Swims' records. And so I think that connection got started through him. And Julian sent me a song called Broke that he put out on his first record that I loved. And I actually wanted to record it for my record. And then so I met Teddy, and Teddy was like, why don't you just sing on the song with me? And I was like, great. And so I sang on Teddy's first record, and I don't think anyone knew that Teddy was going to be Teddy at that point. We all knew that his voice was insane, but no one knew, you know, that Lose Control was on its way and Bad Dreams and all these songs. And so every time I'm around Teddy, you can't help but smile. Just a great dude.
So you're using Lovely here in the UK, which we appreciate, but this is another question. Food of the UK favorites, or one that you were just like, well, I don't need that again.
Yeah, on my more tourist days, it's fish and chips for sure.
Yeah,
pint of Guinness.
Vinegar. And
yes,
salt?
Vinegar.
Okay,
had it yesterday actually. But my wife and I flew in 4 days ago, and we had this like list of places that we wanted to try. We could only pick one, and we tried to get into.
Oh, what of restaurants?
Restaurants.
Okay.
We went to this place called Deschume.
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. It's such a thing. I don't know how this became a thing with country artists. But
our minds were blown.
Yeah, what did you have? The black doll.
We ordered...
The ruby chicken.
We ordered a white doll, and then we ordered 3 different types of curry.
Yeah.
And we ordered, like, fried okra fries.
Delicious, yeah.
And then, like, some potato dish with these sauces on it, and, like, all the naans.
Yes.
All of them.
Yeah.
And had a kingfish beer. It's great.
Oh, that sounds... I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. Is there anything that you've tried in the UK that you've been like, well, okay then?
Like food-wise?
Yeah, because, I mean, I always, like, when my American friends come over, they're always like, oh, I've got to have a Yorkshire pudding. I've got to get
I've never had a Yorkshire pudding.
And then they get one, and they're like,
What is that, exactly?
It is baked batter
so like,
at the base of it. It's just, it's batter. that's baked into
kind of I'm like going to try it after
bowl.
This.
Yeah, if you fill it up with gravy, then it's okay. Mwah, delicious.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect.
Okay,
yeah, I really haven't had anything that I dislike.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
and that's not just me being nice. That's just honest.
Oh no, I know you're not nice.
I will let you know if I find something I dislike.
All right, good. Yeah. Just as we wrap up, a few getting to know you things.
Great. Like,
who was your very first kind of, other than your dad, musical hero? Like, did you have a poster on your wall? Or was it a sporting figure? Like, was there anybody that you were like, oh, just you idolized as a kid?
I mean, yeah. I idolized Mick Jagger my whole life.
Can you do the moves?
I've tried.
Have you?
Yeah, that's not attractive. Could you see me playing a baby Mick Jagger in a Rolling Stones movie?
Did you?
I should. Oh. I need to work on my accent a little bit.
Yeah, well, you're acting now, so...
Because I'm an actor.
All right, so yes. Oh, I know. And then, are you an emoji guy? Do you send emojis?
Yeah.
What's your most used emoji?
Most used emoji would be the cry face laughing
right.
with the skeleton after it. It's like I'm dead crying.
I'm dead crying.
You know what I mean? Like...
And the last gift you got?
The last gift I got?
Yeah, who got you a gift?
My friend Chad got me a stamp. Like the, you melt the wax on it.
Oh, to like seal the letter.
This is my letter year. I'm going to start writing letters this
Fancy
year.
Fancy pants, that is.
Yeah.
What is it, your initials?
It just says T on it.
Just T, not even TR?
Just T, baby.
Wow. And the last gift you gave?
The last gift I gave? A journal.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Who was that to?
To the same person that gave me that. Yeah.
So why were you guys gift giving?
It was his birthday. And he likes to give gifts on his birthday.
Generous.
Which is fascinating.
Hold
to
on
me.
To him.
I know.
Right. Thomas Ratt, TR to his friends and neighbors.
Come on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.